Kof Ches Ma'am Cheshvan, Friday the 1st of November, Rabbi Daniel Schreiber, Toldos, the Legacy of the Avos.
Thank you. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. I wanted to share with you a thought on the Parsha. The Parsha talks about how Esav, Vayivez Esav es HaBechora. And I remember as a child not even understanding how in the world it's possible that Esav would take something that's so precious and disdain it. And the question is, though, when we look back at our own lives, are there things in our lives that are really precious, that we treasure, that perhaps maybe we don't disdain, but maybe we don't give enough kavod? I mean, we don't respect it in the sense that we don't treat it with the attention that it truly deserves. So in this parasha, I want to focus in on something that we learned from the Avos that has to do with how we raise our children and our grandchildren, which are our most precious assets. And we have to. It's very important that we chas v'shalom not think that this is something that we could not disdain, but not treat with enough respect. It needs tremendous respect in order to raise the children and the grandchildren properly. We all know that Avraham fathered Yishmael and Yitzchak Avinu. This we all know. But we also know that there was a very big difference. Yishmael was Yishmael. Yitzchak was Yitzchak Avinu. What happened? How come there was a difference in the way these children were raised? So if you look in the Psukim, you'll see that the Torah itself seems to indicate that there was a difference in the way Avram raised Yishmael on the one hand and Yitzchak on the other. The Torah says in Perek Chafei, Pasuk Yutes, as follows, Ve'ela toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham holid es Yitzchak. The famous Pasuk, that these are the offspring of Yitzchak, the son of Avraham. Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. Now, the language of this Pasuk actually is very similar, not perfectly the same, but very similar to the way it describes how Yishmael is the child of Avraham. Okay, this is the way the Pasuk says by Yishmael. Ve'ela toldos Yishmael ben Avraham. Again, by Yitzchak it says, Ve'ela toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham. By Yishmael it says, Ve'ela toldos Yishmael ben Avraham. So far there's no difference. It's all the same. These are the generations of Yitzchak, the son of Avraham. These are the generations of Yishmael, the son of Avraham. But it says, by Yishmael, Ve'ela toldos Yishmael ben Avraham, Asher yoldo hagar ha-mitzris shiv chasara li-Avraham. It says, these are the generations of Yishmael ben Avraham, whom Hagar, the Egyptian maidservant, bore to Avraham. Asher yolda Hagar. Instead of by Yitzchak, it says, Avram holidus Yitzchak, the Lashon of holid, the verb of holid, by Yishmael, it says, Asher yolda. What's going on over here? I mean, why doesn't it say the same thing by Yitzchak and Yishmael? Clearly the Torah is trying to indicate to us something and communicate to us something that in the parenting, the way these children were raised, there was some difference. What is going on? So I want to share with you a thought. There are many explanations, but one explanation from Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik Zatzal who has the following explanation. He says, when it says by Yishmael, the Lashon, Asher Yolda Hagar HaMitzris, that she bore Yishmael to Avraham, it indicates that there was basically mostly a biological connection. Avraham was the biological father of Yishmael. He wasn't the spiritual father. He didn't succeed in imprinting spiritually upon Yishmael. Yitzchak, though, is a different Lashon. Asher Holid. Holid is a Lashon of transcending mere biological connection. It's more than that. Avraham is Zoche to imprint spiritually, educationally, religiously, the whole religious persona, the spiritual sensibilities that pervaded Yitzchak came from Avraham Avinu. Now the question is, why? How come? Why would there be a difference in Avraham Avinu's impact on Yitzchak versus his impact on Yishmael? Now, of course, sometimes the answer is that it's not a problem with the father, it's the problem with the child. Maybe that was the difference. Maybe Yitzchak and Yishmael were just completely different people, and he wasn't Avram tribe, but he wasn't Zoche. That's a possibility. But it doesn't seem that the Torah is saying that that was what's going on. The Torah seems to indicate that there is a new dimension that we're not thinking of, that really somehow there was something chaser at some point in Avram, and then all of a sudden Hashem fixed it with him, that he was able to do something with Yitzchak that he couldn't do with Ishmael. The Torah says in Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Hei, Vayotze oso hachutza. Hashem wanted to show Avram Avinu the vision and the destiny of Am Yisrael. So he says, Vayotze oso hachutza, Hashem took Avram outside. Vayomer, habetna hashamayma, usfora kochovim. Go out and take a look and see if you can count all the stars. Im tuchal usfora some, if you're able to. Vayomer lo, ko yihye zarecho. See all these stars? This is going to be the number of your children. You won't be able to count them. So this is very interesting. Rashi comments, why did Hashem have to take him outside to look at the stars? Why can't Hashem just tell him? I mean, Avram needs a mashal. He won't be able to figure that out himself. If Hashem says to him, your children will be so numerous we can't even count them. Hashem couldn't say that to Avram. He had to take him outside and show him on on the board what's going on. He needed this vision. Why? So Rashi says, Ulefi medrasho, Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Tsei me'atstagninus shelcha. Hashem said to Avram Avinu, Tsei me'atstagninus shelcha. Go, leave that which the astrologers have been saying to you. Apparently, Avram had been consulting with astrologers, according to the Medrash, and based on their reading of the stars, he was told he's not going to have a son. So Hashem took him out to the stars and said, take a look. He said, forget what they said. Forget it. Avram, ein lo ben. Avram, without the hay, is not going to have a son. Aval Avraham, with the hay, yesh lo ben. He's going to have a son. V'chin Sarai lo teled. Your wife Sarai, she's not going to have a son. No. Aval Sarah, with the hay, teled. She will have a son. So basically you see, it's very clear, that there was a shinui. Something happened. There was a change that allowed Avraham and Sarah to have a child. Now, why? Why did they need that hay in order for them to have Yitzchak Avinu? Why? Why was that so important? Why did they need to have that hay in there to have Yitzchak Avinu? So, there's an interesting chazal on the pasuk in Bereishis. Bereishis Perek Beis, pasuk Dalet. It says, "Ela toldos hashamayim v'ha'aretz." These are the products of the heaven and the earth. These are the products of the heaven and the earth when they were created. Bihibaram. So Rashi comments, Bihibaram. It's a little strange that there's the hay in there, Bihibaram. So Rashi says, Behei Baram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shemayim Baretz, he created the whole world with the hay. He used the hay. So what hay? What's this coming from? So this is really, Rashi notes, that it's based on another medrash. There's a medrash on the pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Chavav, pasuk Dalad. This is what the pasuk says in Yeshaya. Bitchu b'Hashem adayad, trust in God always, ki beka Hashem tzur olamim. Because in Hashem, Hashem is the rock for us for all times. This is ki beka. Beka is yud-hei. So the Medrash says, what do you mean, because the Yud-Hei, Hashem is the rock, Olamim, for the worlds. What do you mean, is the rock of the worlds with the Ka, with the Yud-Hei? So the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created two worlds. He created Olam Haba, and he created Olam Hazeh. The Olam Haba, he used his name, because in the Yud-Hei, he used the Yud from his name to create Olam Haba. And Olam Hazeh, he created with the Hei. So here you have Mefurish, the Chazal, saying that Hashem used part of his name, part of himself, in the creation of this world and the next. He utilized something from himself, the spirituality, the pure Ruchnius, to create this Gashmius world. And the question is, why? What's going on? Why is this necessary? And by the way, this is not it's an idea that people say. We say it in another way. There's a famous Zohar that says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, how did he create the world? Usually when you create something, you need a blueprint, you need a plan. You know, you don't just stop and create things. You need some type of plan. So the Zohar says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mistakel ba'araisa ubara alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah and he created the world. He utilized the Torah as the blueprint for the creation of the world. So again, apparently, to create this physical world, this gashmius world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took from his own name, he looked in the Torah and he created this world. So clearly this is not just a physical world. This Hashem needed, when he wanted to create this world, he wanted to use the ruchnius from himself and Torah ruchnius in creating this world. Why? Why? So this says something to us. Apparently, when Hashem is creating, he says, I don't want to just stand be the creator, the, so to speak, biological father of this world. I need to imprint spiritually on this world. It has to be from my name. It has to be through the Torah. When you create something, if you want to connect to something, you want to have a true connection, the true Baal, the true Adon Olamim, he has to use from him, from the spirituality. You have to form it in a spiritual sense also. We know in the biological world, in the world of nature, an animal has offspring. There's no connection. There's no connection. You have to where they go their own way. But to have a connection, to have a bialos, not in the sense when a parent child, like owning the child, but a connection, a deep connection with that child, it has to be with a spiritual connection, a personal spiritual connection with the child and the grandchild. So Hashem, when he created the world, he wanted to have that connection with this world. He's the Adon Olamim. He had to make sure that it was a spiritual connection with this world. So, since that's the model, Hashem is thinking, Avraham is about to start. We're going to begin the covenantal community, the bris with the Avos. And you need a Hemshechius, you need a Mesorah. Who are going to be the Shalshelis? Who's going to be this chain, this link, all the way through the generations? What model are we going to start with? We're going to just have Avram having a child? So one case was, the first case was Avram having Yishmael. That was a biological connection. But now we're going to start the Bris Avos. So what are we going to do? So Hashem said, the way I created the world, I'm going to give it over to Avraham and Sarah. I created this world with the hay, I'm going to give it over also to Avraham and Sarah. They're going to have the same koach. When they create Yitzchak, and it's critical that they have this, when they create Yitzchak, that he should have this imprint on him. The way I relate to this world, says the Rabbeinu Shalom, Avram and Sarah should relate to Yitzchak. They'll have that spiritual impact, this imprint upon Yitzchak. So, as a result of this, we see that Yitzchak became a true son of Avraham. And that's why there's that double connection. That Avram is, it says twice, that Yitzchak is the son of Avram. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. That's the connection. He's a true son. There's a famous Maimer Chazal in Sanhedrin, and Daf Yutes Amabez, which also gives expression to this idea that having a spiritual impact on somebody makes you, at some level, their father. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Yutes Amabez, Kol Hamalamed Ben Chavero Torah, whoever teaches the son of someone else Torah, Ma'ale Alav Hakosov Ki'ilu Yoldo. It's as if you gave birth to him. This is here there was no biological connection. Here there's nothing biological. And yet still, the koach of teaching Torah and making an imprint, a spiritual imprint on somebody else, makes you their father at some level, that connection. So this is what Hashem wanted for Avram and Sarah. They should have both with Yitzchak. They should be, of course, the biological parents, but also the spiritual parents, in both sense, in every sense, a total and absolute connection. Now, to have a kinyan, we all know that you know, there are different types of kinyanim. For example, when Avraham was interested in Ma'ar HaMachpelah, in purchasing Ma'ar HaMachpelah, so Ephron said to him, I'll give it to you as a gift, a matana. Now, matana is a kinyan. I mean, if Ephron had given it to Avraham, it really would be a chalos kinyan. It works. It belongs to Avraham. When you get a gift, it's yours. But Avraham realized that when you want to have bialis on something, there are different levels of bialis. There are different levels of ownership. If you receive it passively, then your connection is a weaker connection. Avram, inasmuch as he wanted to have Maran HaMachpelah, LaNetzach, for Doros, he wanted to have an active kinyan, an active transaction. So he went ahead and he paid for it. So the same thing also with children. When we have children, it can't just be passive. Not just biologically. I mean, also sending them off to yeshiva, hiring someone else to take, to teach them, and somehow like we're parenting or grandparenting with remote control, literally sometimes, and that's not the way. It can't be passive. It has to be personally being involved. The chashivas of spending time of just, you don't have to teach the child, learn with the child. Learn with the grandchild. Spend time together learning and talking about important issues, talking about Dveikus of the Kaddish Baruch Hu, personally, not having someone else do this. This is the message of what a Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted for parenthood. This is the way that you have the bris avos, and this is the way you're supposed to perpetuate things. This sense, I'm sure people think about their relationship with their parents and their grandparents, and Torah, the way they see Torah, the way they hear Torah, the way Torah smells and sounds and tastes, all of this, it comes from our families, from our parents and grandparents. There's a memory that we have. I was sitting next to somebody on a plane from Eretz Yisrael here, and this Jewish person, unfortunately, was not Torah observant. But he told me that he used to have a seder with his grandfather. The grandfather made sure they had seder. And he said, this seder lives in his soul. He can't explain. He doesn't have any explanation for this. But he said, he is makbid that they have seder too. Even though he's not Torah observant, he has seder. He said, he doesn't know why, but he says, that's who he is. It's part of who he is. It's part of his soul. And this is the idea, to have an impact. This is just one area. Imagine a whole dimension, a whole life, where a person in every aspect of his life feels such a connection. So that's why it says, Avram, hold it as Yitzchak. He created Yitzchak in every sense, biologically and spiritually. Now, this is not something that Yishmael benefited from. At the time that Yishmael was born, it was just Avram, it was Sarai. They were not invested in the spiritual sense. They didn't have this personal godless yet. Hashem gave this godless to Avram and Sarah. Now that means there's a message here also to us. That sometimes we say to the child, how come you're not learning? How come you're not davening? How come you're not doing chesed? How come you don't care? How come it's not there? So, but the truth is, it has to start with us. We have to have the hay in our lives. In ourselves, we have to be animated spiritually, in terms of our spiritual sensibilities. We all know we can't say to a child and to a grandchild or to other people, do as I say, but don't do as I do. The children really emulate, and it can't be, by the way, just that you go through the motions. If we go through the motions, they also know that it's motions. They're very smart. They intuit right away. It has to be with a passion. They have to see that the parents care, that they really, really care, that they're animated by this. When a child sees that it bothers the parent, look at the way this parent is saying a bracha, slowly and carefully, it's true, it's genuine, it's authentic, it's not fake, it's not artificial. It's really true, and it's very subtle. There's a difference. There are people who are actors. They can trick people. A person who's true, it's genuine, it comes through, the children can see, they really, really know. And that has to be that hay. It's an intangible, but that hay that's embedded in Avram and Sarah. That's what we need. We need this ourselves. It doesn't happen. So it could be that in order to be a good parent and a good grandparent, then what do we have to do? We have to continue ourselves in Torah growth. That's important. That's part of the process. The more we grow, the more there's a chance for the children to go, and there's more for the chance for the grandchildren to go. Of course. So this is something. That's certainly the legacy of the Avos. The way that we're supposed to continue and perpetuate, the way they had the Bris Avos and that covenant community that they created and started, this is something that we have to continue. So I'd like to share in the few remaining minutes a few Yesodos and maybe Sodos, secrets that I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Shlita, who told us the following. He said, One of the things that he did personally, and I'm not saying that everyone does it this way successfully, but this is what he did. He said when he wanted his kids to learn, so he never said to them, you have to learn. It's time for you to learn. You know, you have a certain quota of learning you got to do. This is what you got to do. He never said it that way. What he did rather was he would learn, and they would see that he spent, Abba's doing something that he seems to love very, very much, and they would inquire, what are you doing? So he would say, he's learning Torah, he's loving Torah, this is Torah Hashem, this is so special. And he tried to create an environment where when he was learning with his children, they never gave, you know, the sense to the father that they were doing the father the favor. He said he never wanted such an atmosphere that the kids were doing him the favor. Chas v'shalom. He said he always created the atmosphere that he was doing them the favor. They should understand that what he's going to share with them is a legacy. It is truly a legacy. And if I'm spending time learning with you, you're fortunate. You're fortunate to have this special time, this special moment to share this Torah with me. This is an unbelievable thing. So I'll tell you, with my own children, I tried. I have to always continue to work on this, but I tried, and this is what it worked. They saw me learning, and I did the same thing. And they said, "Oh, we want to learn with you. We want to see what it is." I said, "I don't know if I have time. I'm not sure. Maybe you know, you're not old enough yet. You have to be very dedicated. You have to be smart enough. Are you really smart enough to do this?" And they said, "No, we really are." And I let them, you know, beg for it. And then I said, "Okay, we'll do this. But if you want to learn with me, so you got to be serious. If you're going to mess around, forget it. It's over. We're not, you know, for now, we'll have to restart another time. You have to be serious." And lo and behold, it worked. It really worked. Now, for some people, it works for 1 minute. Okay, fine. 1 minute is still an important minute. If you can do something for 1 minute, really, some people, it's 5 minutes. Some people, it's a half an hour. Some people, it's an hour. But whatever it is, it's small. The same thing also with davening. I know there's different opinions about this sort of thing. Do we tell the kids they have to go to shul and we threaten them and push them and they have to go to shul? Or do you say to a child, you're not allowed to go to shul. You can't go to shul until you know how to daven. You have to sit, you have to know not how, you have to control yourself, you can't talk. You have to know what the words mean. And you have to really communicate with Hashem. Do you know how to talk to God? People sometimes take davening so seriously, the isser of osel daber b'shas hatzfila, they don't even talk to God. They daven. They're davening, but they're not talking to God. They don't have the sense that they're standing omei lefnei Hashem, that they really are standing before God. There's a child, you have to ask the child, do you know how to do this? Is this something that you're capable of doing? So if the child realizes that going to shul is a chus, it's a wonderful opportunity, then they'll go to shul with a different mindset. This is a really chashuv idea. So if you do this in Torah, if you do this in mitzvahs, you do this in tefillah, so you spend time with the children, then they really have a true sense, an opportunity to grow. Now there's something else. There is one last yisod that I'd like to share with you. I think that with children, for them, the world, we all know, we all experience a bit. The world can be sometimes a bit of a scary place. It's a fragile place. It's a place that's of unknowns, and maybe if there's one place that a child has a chance to feel secure and warm and connected, it's in the home. The one home. It's a bastion of shalva for them, of peace for them. That this is a place where they're safe and they're fine. When in the home, that's where there's an opportunity. It's true we want to send the kids to yeshiva and they'll grow there, but the home is a place where some of the most important kochos hanefesh, the strengths of the soul, can occur. But it can only occur when they really view the home in such a way. So one of the things that that my wife and I tried to do, when the kids come home, we make a fuss. Look who's home. Look who came home. That when they walk into the home, it doesn't make a difference how bad the day was or how good the day was for them. They walk into the house, they feel, wow, this is like, you know, it's like to the king and the queen. You know, they were just treated so nicely. It's a big fuss. We stand up, we get out. If we're eating at the table, we go leave the table and come to them at the door. It can be done for the grandchildren as well. But the sense that they're greeted so personally. I have an image in my mind of my grandfather, Olav HaShalom. That when I would go visit them, so we would knock on the door and ring the doorbell, and he was always like at the front door. He was always there to greet me. When I would walk in, he would bend down and give me this big hug. You remember me? to me, that was like, I knew if I'm going to visit my grandparents, I'm going to get that incredible, incredible hug. And when there's a connection with the parents and the grandparents, it's such love and safety, then there's also the ability to learn from them and to gain from them. If there's a sense from the parents of sometimes distance and no connections, then how can we connect with them with the most important things? It has to be there. And one last thing, and maybe it's a little bit humorous, but sometimes if you can play with the children, even playing with the children may be a kiyum and a masara. Maybe that's today. Maybe every generation is different. But maybe playing ball or reading with them, doing puzzles with them or playing games with them, but doing things, taking a walk with the children, but spending time with the kids, it's fun that they enjoy to do, is something they can say, you know what? My parents can do this. I enjoy this with my parents. I enjoy my time with my parents. I enjoy my time with my grandparents. And when you do these things together, it ends up that you speak about a lot of other things too. And you have the opportunity to share an educational and spiritual and religious imprint to create not just children and grandchildren, but true spiritual personalities, a true bris avos, a true covenantal community. Shabbat shalom.